You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly chat with Te Pāti Māori's Takutai Kia.
Following the recent hīkoi mō te tiriti, recent statistics show that thousands of people have joined the Māori role, either switching from the general role or signing up for the first time. As part of the hīkoi efforts, organisers push for participants of the hīkoi to use their voices and vote, with co-leader of Te Pāti Māori, Rāwiri Waititi, saying if supporters were not enrolled to vote, nothing would change. For our weekly catch-up with Te Pāti Māori, I spoke to Mariamino Kapakingi about the shift in enrolments to the Māori role and why this shift is important to the party. We also discussed the gang patch legislation recently coming into effect, as well as the COP29 climate summit. Recent data from the Electoral Commission has shown that 3,000 people have joined the Māori role, 2,262 changing from the general role, and an additional 862 new enrolments on the role. This follows organisers of the Hīkoi mō te tiriti pushing the switch during the Hīkoi. Is this a shift that the party's supportive to see?
Completely, 100% supportive and, well, excited even. You know, it's such a stand. An action. It's a real one of the outcomes from the hīkoi, which we are completely excited about. And it shows this kind of really tuning in, waking up, you know, being connected and deciding, being really active about deciding which role and what does this mean for each individual. I think it's wonderful. And in every way, it's wonderful.
So what does Te Pāti Māori believe the Māori role can offer tangata whenua that the general role cannot?
It shows, from our point of view, imagining, for instance, when there's a million Māori on the Māori role, you know, Parliament or the nation has to do something about that when that number starts to, when it moves that way. So already it's starting to show that we must, and if to be on the, to get on the Māori role is a big and good deal. And then from that point, voting. It's one thing to put your name on the role, but it's another then to actually vote. So it's about encouraging, it's another form of encouraging and supporting our whānau to stay engaged, to be politically engaged. It's just good for us all.
In the past couple of weeks, the government's gang patch legislation has come into effect. It's already resulted in multiple arrests being made to those wearing gang insignia. Although it's a little bit early to tell, do you believe that the government is getting what they wanted out of this legislation?
Yeah, it's exactly. It is their plan, you know. And what this gives them is the power. You are enacting your power, the power of the state, to continue to abuse the power and to continuously attack the most, Māori, actually, right? And they'll say in the House, you know, it's not just Māori gangs. We have other gangs that are, you know, but we all know who their primary target group is. So when you've got what they are doing is exactly what they wanted to do. When you have approximately 200 armed officers standing or dressed in their gears and lined up at the urupa, what does that tell you? And what does that tell Māori whānau? You know, what is the message they're sending to Māori whānau? Which is, look, we're not even going to apologise for what we're doing, because we believe that this is really where we should start. You know, not at the other end of, so how, what pushes or what has pushed our whānau to that end of even being parts of gangs. What's going on behind the scenes? And for years and years, they've not even bothered to look at that, because of course they'll have to face their own demons. But this is it was a poor and disgusting show of that much state force. At a tangi of all things, we were there to bury and farewell our loved ones, then they show up like that. It was utterly, utterly disgusting.
And does Te Pāti Māori believe that police have been adequately equipped to make the arrests?
So what we do, all of us six, is we see that, and then we all know, so what's in my end of Taipokoro, for instance, or my colleagues in the Waikato, we will want to know, so how do we understand what might happen in Taitokoro? How do I understand that? So I have my direct relationships with our own senior Māori officers in the north. So, you know, I make a call. We have a conversation. And there's no question that they are put into a position where they should not ever have been put into. And like the many that were standing down at Matapihi, and they'll line up as many Māoris as possible and stick them in the front line and go, okay, well, there's a Māori face, so you fellas might be able to, you might respond to that and behave. But all of that, what all of that does is that we then have to check in with our own communities, our own marae communities, our own whānau communities, and say, this is coming, you know, be prepared, be careful, and organise, or even shut down your marae and go, this is a no-go area, because marae is our bastion, last bastion, so stay away, and that's certainly something we're thinking about.
The government's also indicated plans to expand the list of gangs targeted under the legislation. Yeah. It's currently at 35. Does Te Pāti Māori have any concerns about this move?
In the list that it currently exists is already a huge concern. Adding to the list, it just elevates the whole issue. You know, it heightens the fear of families. And they if they think that they're just targeting gang members come from families. You know, they are parts of families there. And so everyone then becomes tainted or with that fear. So it was already bad with the list there now. Their whole approach, as they've demonstrated over in Matapihi, this is how we're going to do it. Okay, we're going to come in and we're going to tell you how to dress. I don't know whether you saw the police officer with the gang patch wearing it. This is a discriminatory, typical, mocking, shocking, disgusting behaviour at any point in this whole targeting of gangs. Because it's just targeting of Māori. They should just say, we are targeting Māori for being Māori.
I wanted to touch on the recent COP29 climate summit, with it establishing that richer countries such as Aotearoa need to contribute more to help diminish the effects of the climate crisis on less wealthy countries, with countries agreeing to commit nearly 500 billion New Zealand dollars yearly by 2035. Mm-hmm. Does Te Pāti Māori believe that this is enough?
Enough is a relative term. I think we'll support any of the mahi that's got a plan with it. You know, so if it can show all the technical, scientific, and cultural components are locked in and good, then of course we'll support that. But have a plan. And when you're creating a plan, how about talk to the Indigenous whānau? How about talking to whānau? How about understanding what's going on in each of those communities from whānau that live in those communities? We will support it. Have a good plan, make sure it's evidence, make sure it's targeting the right things.
What does Te Pāti Māori believe Aotearoa could do better to rectify our support to less wealthy countries and general climate targets?
I think we've got to continue to play our part. You know, if we have a government who's reducing those climate emissions and targets, then, you know, those things are good and smart things to do, but again, you know, I mean, the biggest issue for us, and if I can really localise this answer, is that whenever they decide to do stuff, they just carry on. They talk to three people, where in fact they should talk to 300 people as a comparison, and they just get on without really knowing and understanding what works.
So yesterday, the Prime Minister on Q&A, and in that interview with Jack Tame, Christopher Luxon said that under his government, Māori Crown relations had probably gotten worse, although he did try and shift the blame of this onto policies from the previous Labour government. What's Te Pāti Māori's response to these comments?
Yeah. That whole response is typical of how they are in the House too, in chambers. They talk about, well, we inherited this and so on. You see, he is closer to the truth when he said you know, thinks these relationships have gotten, they will continue to get worse if you think that you are talking and listening and taking the evidence of, you know, of Māori. Like when the power base of evidence that's provided at every level, at hapū level, at iwi level, at whānau level, at the tribunal level, at the Māori lawyers, and all of these bodies of knowledge are telling you, that's a dumb idea, stop that, try doing this. And they bring the solution too. If you continue to ignore that, you are showing yourself to be who you are, sadly. And if you continue to have one of your smaller coalition parties dictating how you take the treaty bill, then you are again, oh, yeah, things aren't going to look good for you. You have the power. You have the biggest party in that coalition, and it's your cabinet. So, like, blink and manage your cabinet, man. You're the big player. If this the treaty bill, for instance, was a deal, if that was a deal breaker, which I understand not really, then what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you decided to be, we'll cut it off at this point, we'll cut it off at that point? So yeah, right back to a statement, things are not looking good at all.
That was Te Pāti Māori's Mariameno Kapakingi on the thousands of people that have since joined the Māori role following the Hīkoi Motetiriti, the gang patch legislation coming into effect, and the COP29 Climate Summit findings.
That was our weekly chat with Te Pāti Māori's Takutai Kemp.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.